We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobomka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck and pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to Stringy.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know
where mama at.
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Here we go on a Wednesday. By the way, I'll get to the stock market report at 4 o'clock, but if you do follow the markets, the Fed was making a big announcement today at 2. They were going to cut interest rates either 50 basis points or 25 basis points. They did 50 basis points just seconds ago, which is a half a percent. So if you owe, you know, money on a mortgage, or you're getting a mortgage, or you have money on credit cards or whatever, rates are going to go down a little bit. So that's good news for most people. All right. Today was Florida Panthers media day. So that means hockey season is here. And we don't have to talk to in the Dolphins anymore. We're going to talk hockey from now till June. What do you got?
For hockey?
Yeah.
I saw Kachuk.
But you're going to say at the Dolphins game, and I just said no more mind. Dolphins talk.
Okay. Man, boy, Bob going to do it this year. He feels good.
All right. You got anything, Solana? Any hockey?
Yeah. Trocheck was tripped, if we're being 100% honest.
Fair.
Paul Maurice, coach of the year. He got that. He got the monkey off his back.
Paul Mo.
Well, it's just hockey. Jimmy, you have anything? You have anything about Panthers?
We're going to repeat again this year.
Well, you can't repeat again because they haven't repeated before. Right.
They're going to repeat. They're going to...
Okay. Because I thought, I don't want to be the... But you can't repeat again if you never repeated before. Just saying.
Yeah.
Do we really want them to repeat? It's kind of a long summer, wasn't it?
Listen, I'm kind of with Solana on that one. I'm good.
Your summer plans are more important.
It's September 18th. We're talking hockey. We were just talking hockey 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. They should go get Kachuk's brother.
That'll conclude today's hockey talk. Brady Kachuk is his brother.
He's a big old fella with a big bald head.
How about this stat? If the Miami Dolphins lose Sunday, the Dolphins will be under 500 for the first time ever in the Mike McDaniel era.
That's impressive.
Everyone can bitch and moan all they want about Tua and, you know, whatever. Literally, they have never been under 500 during the Mike McDaniel era.
Let me tell you, for a guy who played with Cam Dumbass Cameron, And the Sperano period and the Nick Saban goofy stuff and all that, people don't appreciate Mike McDaniel like they should.
And
think
Tua.
About that. Yes. Yeah. Let me give you old John Beck. Let me throw you a Joey Harrington and see if you appreciate Tua a little more. Yes, Mike McDaniel. I didn't know that stat. He's going to playoffs year after year after year after year after year. This damn Adam Gase. What's it, Adam? You want Adam Gase back? Come on, man. Don't do Mike like that.
And by the way, he's now got to deal with what a ton of head coaches deal with. Losing their quarterback for a period of time during a season and having to go to the backup. Yep. It's just not unprecedented stuff. Maybe the visual of Tua on the ground with the fencing motion in his hands, like maybe that's unprecedented. This is not unprecedented for a starting quarterback to go down miss maybe four games, maybe more, and then a coach have to put together some sort of plan to continue a path to the playoffs.
In 08, the last time the Dolphins won the AFC East, the team I was on, Brady got hurt that year.
That's right.
The Patriots weren't 2-14.
Nope.
They were 11-5. We won the division. That's how we won the went to the playoffs and all that stuff and got the wild card. Matt Cassel went in there and took them 11-5. That's what has to happen. And Skyler, we talked about it this week. Skyler, they locked into Skyler. They drafted Skyler. They went with Skyler, got rid of Mike White. Like, Skyler can't walk in there and hand the ball off 40 times. He's a quarterback. He's the quarterback you decided on. So, yes, I don't expect to go 0-4 over the next month.
Mike McDaniel spoke with the media today. I was looking at some of the tweets from some of the reporters, David Furones, and all the reporters. Two of them may travel to Seattle with the team on Friday. They're traveling on Friday.
That's a little cute.
See. I mean, listen, if you're fine, you're fine.
But he's not fine. He's on IR. He can't practice. He can't play.
Optics.
Of what, him standing there? So they can talk about
him 18
times?
Him being on IR. You really think he needed to go on IR?
Tua, hang out at the house, chill out, put your feet up, drink some water, play in your backyard.
Adam Beasley, Pro Football Network, he tweets out, McDaniel said Tua is, quote, very active within the building. I can guarantee you that he is fully committed to the day and his team and is involving himself in any way the rules and the process allows. Mike McDaniel, this again from Adam Beasley. Mike McDaniel on the locker room's reaction to Skylar Thompson being their starter for at least the next four games. The confidence the team has for Skylar is real and it's earned.
Let's get it, Sky.
Also, Adam Beasley points out, shout out to the Miami Dolphins caterers for the Mahi media lunch today.
Ooh.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, Stephen Ross got a little money.
Tell you what. Well, you know why? Because I don't think he had to give out all the game balls after the Thursday game, right? You can't give a game ball to every player after that disaster, right? So he's like, wow, look at all the extra money we have this week. Get the reporters mine.
They had a surplus. They had a financial surplus.
Talking to Tom Garfinkel. Mabel, can you get Tom Garfinkel in here? Tom, I noticed we have a financial surplus. This seems to be rare in September. That's right. We didn't have to give out 69 game balls after the debacle.
And the interest rate went down? Come
the
on,
interest
man.
Rate, get everybody mahi. Get everybody mahi.
That 0.5% is $1 billion.
Right? Actually, a guy like him, he probably likes when it's high. He's got so much money sitting in cash that he's just collecting the interest.
You're right. He's on the
he's
other
gonna
side.
He's going to be surfing turf. He's like, what? 50 basis points. Cut out the turf.
He's on the other side of this thing, Hawk.
Let's get headlines here. Start out the show. We have Zach Gelb joining us today from the Infinity Sports Network. We have Solana's dad, Eduardo Solana, who improved upon his week one performance when he went 1-3 picking games. He improved to 2-2. So if you follow trends, this is the week to jump on board because he should have a winning week.
He's catching his stride.
We also will be joined today by Rob Pizzola, sports gambler out of Canada. Get some thoughts from him. And we'll give away another pair of tickets to see Motley Crue today. Motley Crue will be at Hard Rock Live Thursday, September 26th. We're giving away a pair of tickets every day this week, and we will do so again today. Now let's get headlines with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Gentlemen, I believe we can officially retire our Woj bomb sound, unfortunately, in what I believe to be the biggest news of the day. Adrian Wojnarowski is stepping aside from reporting duties, so we'll pour one out for our sound.
Woj Bomb.
Was very well produced, and I think we got our money's worth out of it. But what a shock today, and God bless him. How many times, like, he's got one of the most stressful jobs. He has to just be, I mean, it's like a sprinter. He's got to be a second or two faster than his competition, or else he stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, a second or two faster, or else he stinks. He is walking away from over $15 million. Ooh. He gets paid $7 million a year from ESPN. Schefter gets paid $9 million a year. Woj, $7 million a year, has over 2 years left on his contract, has decided the life and the lifestyle is not worth it to him, and he's going to go be the general manager at St. Bonaventure, where he went to school.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nah, I don't know if it's it. Don't retire yet, Salon. Don't take it out the system. He has too many connections. He can find out stuff before other people. Like, why wouldn't I just?
Someone else will take that role. Shams, obviously, is the heir apparent. Yeah. But there's always, you know, newcomers who are trying to, you know, get that insider angle, because it really does pay a lot of money. But if you've ever seen interviews or stories on Schefter, Woj, or Shams, I mean, they literally are attached to their phone 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Like, it does not let up.
I saw someone on Schefter one time. He has three phones in front of him at all times.
Yeah.
Like, that's a stressful life.
Remember, I broke one story in the history of this show, and it was that, what's his name? Blake James had been fired by the University of Miami. That one story gave me a heart attack. I actually had to go to the hospital with a heart attack after that show.
He died that day.
I begged people, don't attribute this to me. Remember? I didn't want that kind of pressure.
You released it, and the next three segments was telling people don't say your name.
Might be wrong. I don't know. I can't sit on the info because I have inside info. And then I think Solana claimed it on Twitter, and he got all the love for it.
I did. I got credited for the whole thing.
I still had a heart attack.
I mean, how hard could it be? You're just texting agents. I mean, come on.
Funny thing is, like, if you are looking to save money, like, okay, Woj does have it 5 seconds before everybody else. But 5 seconds later, everyone has it. So now you want to talk about saving money if you're ESPN. Like, well, maybe we just don't fill that role anymore. We'll just allow someone else to tweet it out. And after they tweet it out, we'll put it up.
I'm interested to see that point. I thought about it. I'm interested to see if we get the news as fast without Woj, because everybody then just retweets Woj. But
how would we know if we got it slower? Like, we'll know it when we get it.
And I think the ESPN pays the Schefters and the Wojes because they know the information they get is longer than 5 seconds before everybody else, because all they do is, it's what we do. We just stare at our phones to see when Woj or Shams or somebody says it.
To be fair, I mean, he understands the cap. Like, he literally knows every player, where they've been, where they've played, who their agents are.
True.
Because I do read a lot of Shams and Woj, Shams through The Athletic, Woj on ESPN. Like, they happen to be very knowledgeable about the inner workings of the NBA and what's going on within organizations.
You know what's interesting, though? Like, instead of just announcing that you're retiring, he shouldn't retire. He should have just sold his phone and phone number for $5 million. You know what I mean? Like, here, you just bought my... No one who's texting you is going to know that it's not me. And now you're the insider.
Like, hand the torch. He should have handed the torch quietly.
Right. For $5 million.
Well, if he was making $7 million a year, Hawk, I think he's made $7 million a year for years and years and years and years. What's Woj's net worth?
He doesn't strike me as an ostentatious guy. Not many people would walk away from $15 million from a media job to go work, you know, the NIL stuff with St. Bonaventure. But he obviously, I'm guessing it's a lifestyle choice. I mean, he pretty much as much said so in his statement. It's a lifestyle choice. He doesn't want to be attached to that job the way that he's been. Wants a normal job.
To your point, though, it's what that Twitter account Dove Kleiman did. Whoever the hell Dove Kleiman is, I still don't know.
100%.
Built up enough of a, you know, of a social media following where people trusted that account to deliver factual NFL resources. He sold it, whoever it is, and now some other loony person runs the account. But the majority of those followers still think that's an NFL reporter getting them inside information. I just don't think I feel like Woj still has a reputation to uphold. He doesn't want some whack job sullying his good name.
Yeah, for $5 million, sully away.
I don't know this website, ampedmarca.com, but it said he was worth $6 million before he signed the five-year, $35 million deal in 2022. So now he's sitting on about 20 M's?
That strikes me as correct because there was no real, like, unless you have competition, like, okay, you are the market, but there's no real need to overpay for you because you're the only guy doing it. And then when Shams came around, then there were bidding wars for the both of them. It drove prices up. That's when he got that big giant contract from ESPN.
Yeah, sitting on 20 M's. Whoa, would you enjoy yourself at St. Bonaventure?
Yeah, have the time of your life.
All right, guys. Tyler Huntley will wear number 18 with the Miami Dolphins.
Who's the last person to wear 18 with the Dolphins?
Jakeem Grant.
Anybody know? I don't know.
I don't. Oh, I thought you knew. I thought you had the answer. No, I don't know.
No, I didn't even know he was wearing 18 until you just said.
Was it Itsy Bitsy 18?
I don't think Jakeem.
Was he?
I don't think he was 18. Oh. I could be wrong. I just don't remember him being 18. Jimmy's looking it up, so we'll have it at around 5:30.
Oh, Eric Ezukama was 18. I saw today that Ezukama had switched to number 84. I didn't realize that that's because Tyler Huntley wanted the number.
You got it, Jimmy.
What happened? Jimmy got it?
No, I said Jimmy's looking it up, so we'll have it around 5:30. Let me just sit on it.
Well, it was Ezukama.
Yep, that's the answer. Eric Ezukama.
Eric who?
Him both.
Ezukama is the last person to wear 18.
Sounded like you said Ezukama. Preston Williams wore it.
Yeah.
Ernest Wilford wore it.
He was on the golf team for the Dolphins.
Ah, Sage Rosenfels. Your boy, probably.
That's my man.
All right.
That's really my friend. I know I say I'm friends with everybody. Me, I'm type. Sage is cool.
Oh, did you see who wore it in 1966?
Who?
Dick Wood.
He was a hard hitter.
Long career.
Penis.
You don't get it. You say other, you know, you just insinuate things.
Oh. I thought you guys were leaving the easy one for me.
Hey guys, Shohei Ohtani hit a dinger last night to right field. So he's just two home runs away from 50 home runs this season. Marlins play the Dodgers again tonight. Actually, a decent crowd.
Stolen bases away.
Yeah. Actually, a decent crowd yesterday. The upper deck of right field had people in it, which is very uncommon.
If you're going to go see a Marlins game after the slow start and it's kind of been a lost meandering season, if you were going to go see a Marlins game, it's going to go to be a Shohei game, no? I mean, is there any other Major League Baseball player who would make you even consider going to a game right now? For me, it's Shohei.
And Mookie's on that team. Like, the Dodgers got some stars.
Yeah. I mean, they're a potential World Series winner. I'm just saying Shohei is the biggest thing in baseball.
Yeah.
Yes. The last game I went to was the Dodgers game, and we walked in, and that's when Mookie hit a digger in the second inning or something like that. And as soon as we walk up to the edge, and he hits one out. It was my son went crazy.
Yeah, it's between Shohei or Jorge Cantu for me.
Sure.
Who?
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Inter Miami plays tonight, by the way, 7:30 p.m. They're at Atlanta United.
No game on this station.
Yes.
Right? I think it's first of their last three games or so.
Okay.
Y'all see how Altuve take his shoe off yesterday? That was ridiculous.
Did. You got tossed.
That was ridiculous.
No, I didn't see
Look
that.
At my toe. It's red.
That was funny.
Man.
He got tossed.
Look at my toe.
He took off his sock, too. I'm watching the video.
Yeah. Yeah. Want to show the ump.
Look at my toe, ump.
Reminds me of the who's the dude he's playing in Israel now? I'm drawing a blank on
Patrick his name. Beverly.
Patrick Beverly showing the camera to the ref.
You can't take off your equipment to show your toe to an umpire. That's a little too far, Jose.
He had a toe jam.
All right. Excellent. I don't know.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE.
Did you say Akuzuma? What did you say, Jimmy?
I just had to get the joke, but I got you.
Dick Wood, Jimmy. Dick Wood, number 18.
Got it.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy in South Florida. Tonight the lows will be in the upper 70s, low 80s. That is your weather.
Zach Gelb will talk some football with us in the next segment.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Holy cannoli.
Hawk and Crowder.
There are a lot of ways to make whiskey, but there's only one way to make the best, which is Jack Daniel's. Jack could have been like all those other whiskeys. Instead, they charcoal mellow every single drop through 10 feet of hard sugar maple charcoal. They only use the water of Cave Springs Hollow right there in Lynchburg, Tennessee, where Jack is made. But we don't need to tell you that, do we? Make it count. Jack Daniel's, please drink responsibly. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel's, Slater, Bridget, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's, 07, trademark 2020. Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
We are going to talk some football with Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network, as we do every Wednesday on this program. And by the way, if you're looking, speaking of football, for Canes merch or Dolphins merch, you check out Caneswear in Davie on University Drive, or check it out online at caneswear.com. Zach Gelb is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. You can hear him every afternoon nationally on the Infinity Sports Network. He did his show Monday night from the Tasty Cake Studios at WIP in Philadelphia because he went to the Eagles Monday night game. He's coming to us today from the WFAN studios in New York. But Monday night, you went to the Eagles game, Gelb. Was that Eagles collapse at the end squarely on the shoulders of former Dolphins defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, who played in a prevent defense so deep the Falcons were able to go the length of the field in like 30 seconds. Do you put the blame on Vic Fangio?
Not solely, but he's definitely a part of it. Like the play call and decision to throw, I was thinking they were going to run, to be clear. I don't even think is a top three moment of criticism from that game. Like Saquon Barkley has to catch the ball, the game's over. Then Fangio's defense has to not look like a hot knife going through pretty much butter with what the Falcons did, just marching down the field. And then Jalen Hurts, all he has to do, he's at the 43, get the team into field goal range with 27 seconds left, and he throws a pick. So Fangio is part of the top three. I blame Saquon, Hurts, and Fangio. Definitely the three biggest people to blame for that one.
And the Eagles, should we still talk about them like elite NFC team? Because last year they went 1-9, and now this year they're not looking that good. I know AJ Brown was out, but I'm going to start taking them out of my talks when I talk about Super Bowl contenders.
So they have been missing an it factor and they have been a mess since starting out the year 10-1 last year. And they weren't even playing all that great when they were 10-1. The record was misleading, and they were lucky to win a lot of those games. But down the stretch, they won one game. You opened up the season, nice win up against the Packers in Brazil, but they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory on Monday night. There's no doubt about it. But here's the thing, Channing. It's like, yeah, I'm with you. You should take them out of the Super Bowl contending conversation. But then the 49ers also just lost to the Minnesota Vikings. The Detroit Lions just lost as well. It's like those top three teams in the NFC, they're still probably the top three teams in the NFC, but they're not looking great to start the season. And hey, I know Minnesota's 2-0. I know the Saints are 2-0. I like Tampa Bay. They're 2-0, but none of those three teams, I'm going to sit here and tell you, I expect them to be in the Super Bowl this year, let alone an NFC championship game.
Yeah, and it's very early on, as evidenced by the Eagles being 10-1 last season, but then you find out that that's not exactly the team that they were. So we're going to learn, I think, a lot about the, like, none of us are sold on New Orleans, I don't think, but it's hard not to at least look at what they've done in two games and say, wow, like, is Derek Carr just going to have the best season that he's ever had? Like, could happen.
Yeah, Derek Carr, I've seen him enough. Whenever he starts to look like he's about to be a top 10 quarterback and he's the guy, he's awesome, he then goes out there and plays like three or four bad games that remind you who Derek Carr is. Nice start. I'm not taking anything away from Derek
sounds
Carr.
Sounds like you are.
But no, I've seen the script too many times.
But it sounds like you're taking a little something away from him. Listen, you know Jeff George stunk until he put together one incredible season.
You know what? It'd be like if Florida played a good football game. Is the next second, am I going to get out here and say, Billy Napier, he's the guy, Channing. Don't fire him. Come on.
Don't say that because you're wrong.
Listen, you bring that back to Florida anytime you want.
I heard the reads for Jack Daniels. It's very fitting that Channing's doing it. You need a lot of Jack Daniels after watching Billy Napier in the swamp to open up the season. Jeez, I thought the Miami game was bad. A&M starts a new quarterback, Wegman out, and they start a guy make his first career start, and he looked like he was Gino Toretta.
Oh, we don't know what he's going to do. Oh, he's just going to throw 80-yard bombs all game.
Yeah, kick Florida's ass. That's what I know he's going to do.
Goodness gracious.
Anyway, let's talk some Dolphins here. So we know that Tua is going to be gone for at least four games while he's on IR. Can they win with Skylar Thompson? I said this at the beginning of the show today. Look, Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins are not facing something that teams don't face all the time in the NFL. The starting quarterback gets injured for a time, and they have to go to the backup, and they've got to do whatever they've got to do to continue trying to make it to the playoffs and put together a winning season. So can they win with Skylar Thompson? Do you think over the next four games we'll see Tyler Huntley as the starter at some point? Do they need to go get a different quarterback? What's your take on what's going to happen with the Finns?
I'm going to answer it the way that you asked it. Can they win with Skylar Thompson? Yes. Can they win because of Skylar Thompson? Then I would have said no. But these next four games, it's an easy break in the schedule where if you tell me you got to go 2-2, they could go 2-2 and salvage their season. And then Tua comes back. But I'll be curious, because what they've done here is correctly punted the Tua decision for four games. I'll be curious. I know Tua wants to come back, right, from all the reporting. But if the Dolphins will actually put him on the field four games from now, if they're in it, and let's say they go 2-2 and not 0-4 or not 1-3, we know this, and Channing knows it too. When you leave the decision in the hands of the player, 9 times out of 10, if the player gets the okay from the doctor and they go, okay, do you want to play in this game? The player is going to say yes. So I've been up and down in the Tua stuff. When it happens, I said, I don't want to see him play again, but he will return. And then after I was talking to Armando Salguero, he reminded me, hey, his mom wanted him to retire back in 2022. And I'm like, huh, can you tell mom no once again? But after giving it the weekend, I do think we'll see Tua at some point again this season for the Dolphins.
And we've talked about this too, Gil, beware. Like, we haven't seen enough out of Skylar. We saw him in that playoff game. We've seen some spot playing. But is it on Mike McDaniel to make this work? Like you said,
yes,
Skylar's not going to the Pro Bowl. Is it Mike McDaniel? Or if he doesn't work out, do you have to look to Chris Greer? Because we know this window's small. They just paid Ramsey. They just paid Tyreek. They just paid Waddle. They're going to have to pay Javon Holland, Jalen Phillips. Like, their window might be closing, and they put the team on Skylar Thompson's back.
Is that a bigger question for GM Chris Greer, or is it just Mike McDaniel? You have to make this offense run.
This is Mike McDaniel. We saw last year Kevin Stefanski with Joe Flacco get the Browns to the playoffs. We saw Jake Browning, even though the Bengals didn't make the playoffs, look okay because of the coaching of Zach Taylor. I know Kevin O'Connell's team wasn't great last year, but they weren't putrid without Kirk Cousins. And we all know the importance of Kirk Cousins to the Minnesota Vikings and what they were trying to do last year. So this is on Mike McDaniel, where they're going to have to rely on the run game more, which maybe could help out the offensive line, which has been absolutely dreadful. And they're going to need Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane, who have been banged up to start the year, to be healthy. That's the way that they're going to win. And then you use the short passing games plays to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, and you hope they break them out for big plays with their speed.
Gelb, we've debated this plenty over the last 2 days. Did the Dolphins front office mismanage the quarterback situation?
Absolutely.
In other words, yeah, Skylar Thompson. Is it fair to say that Skylar Thompson being their choice to back up Tua Tagovailoa, a bad decision already, or do we have to wait to see how he performs?
It's a terrible decision because, and this is what I said on this show before, and I know Dolphins fans didn't want to hear it. Yeah, Tua got through last season healthy. But the moment he suffered another concussion, 2022 comes right back, and that's unfortunately what we had to see on Thursday night. And you know what? Maybe they should fire Chris Greer, and maybe they should appoint Channing Crowder as the GM, because I remember a few weeks ago I was here, and Channing was talking about getting Ryan Tannehill in that quarterback room. And I know Ryan Tannehill may not be a fit for Mike McDaniel, but if you told me, and I don't even love Ryan Tannehill, you had to go into this game coming up on Sunday with Ryan Tannehill, Or with Skylar Thompson, who would be better? Obviously, you go with Ryan Tannehill.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a slam dunk answer like that. Skylar's been around the team for 3 seasons now, 4 seasons. Like, I mean, there's a reason he's there. There's a reason that, you know, we preach all the time. These quarterbacks, they're thrown into the mix too soon. They don't get a chance to learn the system, learn the coaching
staff,
learn the players, the offense. But that's why you have Skylar Thompson on the roster for 2-3 seasons, right? So that he's fully capable of stepping in when called upon. I'm not certain we had this argument yesterday. Okay. I'm just not certain that it's actually mismanagement, because to me, it seems like Skylar Thompson was a chosen backup plan for Tua based on seasons worth of indication to the coaching staff in the front office that he's capable of doing it.
But we're going to find out. I don't have any expectation for Skylar Thompson. This team, this roster is still built well enough outside of the backup quarterback position where with the schedule and the way that it breaks right now, they can go 2-2. Can he win one game? Maybe. But do I think we're going to be sitting here after 4 games and saying, wow, I feel great about Skylar Thompson? If Tua has to miss any more time, I'd be shocked. And I think it's likely that you do see Huntley at some point. And I know it's kind of a joke that he is a Pro Bowl quarterback before. I'm not going to go sit there and praise Snoop Huntley, as they do call him. But he is a dual threat quarterback that if you need him in a pinch, can give something to this team. I would rather have – now, I know they're not going to play him right away because he doesn't know the playbook. But I'd rather have Huntley under center than Thompson.
And with who's talking about, we already said it's early in the season. People are 1-1 and 2-2 and oh, when the damn Ravens are 0-2, I don't think they're just going to get knocked out of the damn playoff race. The AFC East has got interesting now because the Patriots are whooping ass. The Jets, they lost to the Niners, and now the Dolphins with the Tua situation. We've ranked them before. Now, how do you see the AFC East?
I would say the Bills are 1, and that's clear. Jets are 2. Dolphins are 3, and still the Patriots are 4. The Patriots are playing gritty, tough football. I've watched every snap of them being a Patriot fan. I would have liked to seen Gerard Mayo go for it in overtime on 4th-and-1 instead of punting the ball back. But that offensive line for New England, they can't pass protect, and they're going to be running the football, and they're going to be playing good defense, and that will keep them in games. But the Patriots still need a lot more talent. But the Patriots go beat the Jets on Thursday night. Like, I don't think that's crazy because the Jets' run defense has been terrible. And if the Patriots stick to their game plan and just run with Ramondre Stevenson and then Gibson, who came over for the Commanders, they'll be in that game. But I don't know if they'll ultimately win it.
We go around the league a little bit. What do you make of the Bryce Young situation in Carolina? Does he need to ask for a trade at this point? Is that, I don't even know if you call it an experiment, because it wasn't an experiment. Like, it was just their number 1 overall pick. Like, does he need to move on and do they need to move on from him? I'm not even saying that there's any, you know, great landing spot, but I just wonder if that is fractured beyond repair.
I think if you're Bryce Young, you just wait to do all that stuff at the end of the season. Like, they could go back to him at some point this year, but he will never be viewed as the guy in Carolina again. Here's the thing. I do not like David Tepper. David Tepper is by far and away the worst owner in the NFL since Daniel Snyder is no longer there, and it's not even close. But the thing is here, David Tepper, what he's got crushed for the last few years is for not letting his football people make the football decisions. I do believe this is a Dave Canales decision. But if I'm David Tepper, you brought in Dave Canales to fix Bryce Young with what he's done in Seattle and what he's done in Tampa Bay, and you give up on him after two games. I know a lot of people didn't want the Panthers job, and that's why you have to settle on a guy like Canales who wouldn't have been a head coach with any other team in the NFL. But if I'm like David Tepper, who I have no sympathy for, and I think is a terrible, and I mean a terrible owner, he can mess up a one-car funeral procession. I'm like reevaluating, well, why the heck did I hire this guy, Canales, if he's benching Young after two games? But I guess the positive is at least he's finally letting his football people make the football decisions. The Panthers are a bleep show, and here's what I would do. Don't use the number one overall pick, which they will have this year, on a quarterback. Trade that pick. There's no generational quarterback in this draft, and get a King's ransom for that pick. No. He's a solid player. He could win the Heisman. As a pro, he's not a generational quarterback.
You were doing so well today.
But here's like go get a big return and then take the quarterback in 2026, because this team has no talent or very little talent.
And Gail, have you given up on Bryce? Because Solana still loves him. I've watched him, and we talk about him, pure size. And you're seeing the highlights today and yesterday where, like, guys are just slapping his stomach and he's rolling 16 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Could he get – if Bryce Young was to be on the Chiefs or the, you know, a talented offensive team, can Bryce Young be a very good or even good NFL quarterback?
Just for the record, Gelb, I don't love Bryce Young. I'm just not willing to punt on a guy.
You're rewriting. You are rewriting your year, season, and two games worth of takes on Bryce Young. You love Bryce Young.
I think it's more organization malpractice with Bryce Young than it is Bryce Young being a bad quarterback through a season and two games.
But I think he looks like a kid at Gymboree who lost his parents.
But to Solana's point, it's like, do I think Bryce Young could play in this league? Yes. And the concerning part, though, is that
what
line
position?
At quarterback. Come on here. Who are you, Bill Polian? You're trying to make him move positions now? Please. But Bryce Young, to me, we obviously know he's small. But I wonder, and the concerning part is the offensive line in Carolina actually has been good this year through the first two games. And I look at what he's doing, and I wonder how much is he just mentally cooked? And if you're mentally cooked, there's no recovering really in this league, or it's very tough to do. But I'll say this, like, if I'm Chris Greer, I don't know if the Panthers would do it right now because the price is going to be so low. But I would kind of kick the tires on Bryce Young as a backup quarterback option. Why not?
Why not? I don't know. Have you watched him over the last 18 games? What have you seen over the last 18 games that says to you, that's the guy I need?
And can I ask you this? What did people think Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith when they were going to Tampa Bay, when they were going to Seattle? No one thought those guys were going to be any good, and they turned
them
around.
Geno Smith, for sure. Baker Mayfield showed you flashes up and down of being who he was in college. Geno Smith was a super surprise, but I would make the Skylar Thompson argument to you like Brock Purdy. I mean, who would have thought Brock Purdy would come in and do what he did? Like, anything can happen.
No, you're not wrong on that. Like, hey, Skylar Thompson. Well, no, I'm not going to go there. I was going to say, hey, he could go 4-0 the next four games. But there's a 0% chance of that happening.
Today's National Cheeseburger Day, Gelby. When's the last time you had a good old cheeseburger?
You know what? I hate to say, I had a lot of steak in the summer. And you go to when you go to a great steakhouse, there's nothing like it. But there's a lot of time you go get steak and you're a little underwhelmed when you leave. It's very tough to mess up a burger. Here's been my big hot food take recently. If I had to pick one for the rest of my life, if it's a steak or a burger, you could only have one for the rest of your life, I'm going with a burger. A medium rare burger with some bacon and some blue cheese.
I'm with that.
Delicious.
I'm with that. What? I was going to ask you, I'm with that because a steak, like sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's fatty. Some like a burger.
It's easy to mess up a steak. A lot of restaurants, even good steakhouses, they mess up steak. You never mess up a burger.
He is right.
Where are you getting your steaks from?
Well, listen, I can get a burger anywhere. I don't have, like,
I have enough good steakhouses in New York.
If I don't feel like dropping $200,
they all try to be like Peter Luger.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing here? They're all trying to be like Chops Lobster.
And Solana, I see his sarcastic remark in the chat now. Steak, I thought he only ate chicken sausage. I had a great chicken burger the other night, and I had chicken sausage earlier in the week.
But what is your go-to cheese on National Cheeseburger Day? You say, I'll take a cheeseburger. They say, what kind of cheese do you want, sir?
Blue cheese crumbles.
Blue cheese. Interesting. And I love blue cheese, but on a burger, on a cheeseburger, cheddar. I think cheddar's the proper answer for a cheeseburger.
Well, now we know what you're doing before you eat your cheeseburger and what I'm doing. You're clearly eating that cheeseburger sober. I'm not. All right.
But I like, I do like blue cheese.
Give me a blue cheese and some bacon on it.
Give me a blue cheese bacon burger and certain times during the year, I'm all for it. But I'm just saying, like, go to, like, hey, what kind of cheese you want on that cheeseburger? I think it's got to be cheddar.
But let's also be real. I don't think you're a real burger guy, Hawk. I feel like every time I see you on Instagram, you're going to get like either sushi or tacos with your wife.
Avocado toast. I'm a big avocado toast guy. Yeah, I'm a big avocado toast guy. And I can't wait for avocado toast day.
What kind of men are you? You hearing chicken burgers? He's always telling me about these damn salmon burgers. What's the beef? Eat some cow, Gilby.
There's only one person in this entire conversation who's been pescatarian and vegan and vegetarian and every other fad diet that comes around. So don't give us your old big meat take.
Crowder was a vegan?
I remember going with Leroy Horde and Crowder in Vegas to a restaurant that was having a meat happy hour. And guess who had to order off the menu? Do you have any salmon? Any uncooked salmon over here?
Well, you know why?
It was embarrassing.
You know why? That's the social media influencer in him. He has to go with all the trends.
Hey, I'm going to influence, and then he tries to influence. It's ridiculous.
Hey, I'm on a detox right now, fellas. Do I look more vibrant?
Yeah, your skin is glowing. Zach Gelbs, Infinity Sports Network. Zach Gelbs.
You got it, guys.
How many are there?
How many is that Gelb?
I don't know. He was good for half of it, and then he had some weird take about going to get Bryce Young.
Oh, you're just Zach upset Gelb about Cam Ward. Let's just be real.
And then he wouldn't call Cam Ward a generational quarterback, which we all know that he is. I mean, there's no question about it. I don't know how he can't see it. So there you go. Zach Gelbs. Hey, gave you both ends of the spectrum.
And Solana's.
Yeah, Gelb. All right, there you go. Zach Gelb joins us every Wednesday.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.